Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Good to have an opportunity to share the Word of God with you. It's been, I think, 4 weeks since I last had that opportunity, so I'm excited to be able to preach to you this morning. We've had some great sermons the last 4 weeks. I know that you've been blessed, and last Sunday we had Shay and Jenny share, and it was just a powerful time. Would you agree? Really enjoyed that. A powerful service. Next week is, I'm just going to let you know, we have a bit of a special Sunday planned. We always have our Global Impact Celebration in the spring, which is a full weekend. But we just felt like we wanted to do something a little different this year, sort of mid-year, and have a Sunday where we just devoted to bringing you updates on what's happening with our Global Impact partners. We've got some videos to show you, some testimonies to share with you, and then I have something really exciting to share with you at the end that I think God is doing in our own city that I feel that God is calling us to be a part of. So that will be next Sunday. But as I thought about what I would share with you today, I thought I would tell you some stories from my most recent trip to Pakistan and just speak on something that has been sort of a current truth in my life or a current reality that I've been walking in. I want to talk to you about finding God's strength when we feel weak. There's a well-known passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul talks about a time in his life when he had an incredible experience with God. He said he was caught up into paradise and heard things so astounding that they couldn't even be expressed in words. But then he continues to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong.'" And in this passage, Paul reveals a truth to us that he has learned. The truth was that God's power worked best when Paul was weak. 3 times Paul had begged the Lord for him to remove this thorn in his flesh, but it remained. However, as he learned about the fact that God's power works best in weakness, we see that he began to change his tone entirely. He began to embrace his weaknesses. He began to embrace the hardships of this life because he saw that through them, God's power was released at a whole other level. And he actually comes to the conclusion, when I'm weak, I'm strong. And this is one of the great paradoxes of Scripture, that somehow our weaknesses can actually be an asset. I remember several years ago, some of you have heard this story of coming face to face with the reality of this reality while doing a festival, a gospel festival in the village of Rukungiri, Uganda. This was very early on in our evangelistic ministry, and it was the first time that I'd ever had my parents travel with me to see me preach in person at one of these events. I wanted to put on a good show for the parents, you know. And I remember feeling just so much pressure that weekend to be this great evangelist. There had been a big parade as we had entered the city of Rukungiri announcing my arrival. Posters were everywhere with my face on them, and there was great expectations of signs and wonders and miracles from the local community. And the first night of the festival had gone okay, but not to the level that I had hoped. There were so many sick people there who were not healed. Everything just didn't feel good enough. I remember my mom telling me the next morning that she had cried herself to sleep that night. as she lamented over all the sick and tormented people that she had encountered at the festival that went home the same as they came. I felt like I was failing miserably. Even my own mother thought I was a failure. That's what it felt like. I felt so weak. I felt so powerless. I remember just having this feeling, I just want to get on a plane and go home. What am I doing? But while having a nap that afternoon before our second meeting, I was literally awakened with a jolt, like something zapped me, it felt like, and I just sat straight up in my bed in the middle of a sleep. It was a supernatural experience where it was like something had shocked me awake. And as I sat straight up in my bed, in that moment, I just heard God's whisper, but it was like a thunderclap in my spirit. And I just heard these words inside of my spirit, Joel, get out of my way and I'll do the miracles. And I knew what God was saying. Joel, you're trying through your great preaching and your powerful praying to heal the sick and to save the lost souls, but you have no power to do it. So step aside and let me do it. Visibly that night, no one would have noticed any difference in how I preached or prayed. But I want to tell you that something on the inside had dramatically shifted. I had humbled myself and said, God, I realize I'm nothing. So I'm not taking any responsibility or credit for what does or doesn't happen tonight. I'm just going to open my mouth and the rest is your show. It's on you. I'll never forget that night because it absolutely poured buckets the whole time I preached. People were holding chairs over their heads to protect them from the rain. Plastic chairs. It was the most bizarre preaching experience I've had. And that night we had an explosion of miracles, deliverances, and salvations. It's still one of the coolest memories I have of preaching the gospel. I had to embrace my weakness before God could do what He wanted to do. You know, we talk a lot in this church about living your call. Our desire as a church is this. We don't want to build a great audience. We want to build a great army. We want to inspire the people of God to be and do all that God has called them to do. We want to inspire you as a church to action. But I can promise you that as soon as you start thinking about your call or being used by God in some way, it won't be long before you run face first into your weaknesses or your inabilities. There's not a person in this, in order to walk in our calling, we have to learn how to walk in God's strength in the middle of our weaknesses. And there's not a person in this room who doesn't have weaknesses to overcome. Everyone has struggles. There are also times in our life where it feels like our weaknesses are more prevalent than others. Times when it seems like it just piles on. And some of these struggles can be external circumstances, but often the worst are the internal battles that we face between the ears. The battles of fear and worry and doubt and insecurity, just to name a few. Whether it's a talent issue, a physical issue, an internal issue, or an external issue, weaknesses are very real for all of us. One of the great messages of the Bible, however, is this message that Paul discovered. God's power works best through our weaknesses. And the record of Scripture is a record of the weak accomplishing great things for God. That's what you read from cover to cover. The stories of Moses and Gideon and David and Esther and the disciples and many others are the stories of God using broken people to do the impossible. It's one of God's specialties. And that should encourage all of us today. And this was again a lesson that God continues to teach me and one that was underlined to me again while I was in Pakistan. I really battled my health on that trip in a way I never have before. I'm still battling it, to be honest. I've often gotten sick at the end of a trip, but never in the middle when I had the most of what I went to do still in front of me. I'm on a Pakistan diet right now. Maybe you can see. It's of, I don't feel like eating, and when I do, she doesn't stay in very long. That's all I'll tell you this morning. I've lost some pounds. That's been the good sign. But I got really sick in the middle. And yet, despite it all, I saw God's strength shine through my weakness. And I want to give you three things I learned or was reminded of in this process. We all understand being weak. We all want God's power to work through us in our weakness. But what can we do to experience this power or His strength when we are weak? That's what I want to talk about today. Let me give you three thoughts. The first one is this. Focus on the treasure inside, not the vessel it's contained in. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul says, "For God who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,'" he's talking about creation, "'has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ.'" We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through our suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. Verse 16, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small. They won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. In this passage, Paul is talking to us about where our focus is. We have this great treasure that God has given us. We have His light in our hearts. We have the truth of who He is. We have His presence with us. We have the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit inside us. We have the gifts of the Spirit that He's given us to accomplish His purpose. But this great treasure, all these great things are found inside this fragile, weak vessel because they're in us. On the outside, it might not look like much, but the power is not in the container. The power is in what's on the inside. If you trust in the pot, you will despair at every crack you see. But if you have an awareness of Christ inside of you, it changes everything. If you understand the treasure within, if you place your focus there, you will be able to go forward with confidence no matter what. You have to be able to see more than the broken pots. You have to see the treasure within. I've often talked about the scripture where Paul exhorts his young disciple Timothy, because it seems as though Timothy's weaknesses were limiting him, holding him back. They had become an area of focus, and as a result, he wasn't pushing in like he needed to. And so Paul comes with these strong words of exhortation in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, and he says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for Him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the good news." And so Paul is challenging Timothy here. Timothy, you got to focus on the treasure inside. He had spiritual gifts within him that were imparted to him through the laying on of hands. He had the Holy Spirit inside of him, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of self-discipline. And so Paul exhorts him, "Come on, Timothy, don't hold back. Stir it up. Preach the gospel. God will even give you strength to go through suffering." You see, church, if you focus on the fragile clay pot, you'll do nothing. And you'll have no faith to endure anything. But our strength comes from something other than ourselves. It comes from trusting the treasure that's on the inside. On the very first night of our Pakistan festival, I was still in quite a weak condition. I had spent several days in bed with fever, chills, body aches. Top of that, my stomach was a mess. I didn't want to be far from a bathroom. But our crusade was happening in a more rural area or tribal area, and it was over an hour from our hotel. Bathroom facilities were severely lacking, especially for this spoiled Canadian. And the whole night was very intimidating. The crusade was happening in an area that was predominantly Hindu. Over half the crowd of 8,000 people that attended were Hindu people. They had arrived on over 200 buses that we had sent out to the surrounding villages. How much did they even know about Jesus? It was a very poor area. I was told that many were illiterate and poorly educated. And so not only was I concerned about my physical ability to preach, but I had this bigger concern: would they even understand my message? I'll tell you that a Pakistan crusade has a very different feel from an African crusade. In Africa, there is so much exuberance. There are many Christians who will also be in attendance, and there's a baseline understanding, even from those who wouldn't be Jesus followers, at least they know about Him and who He is. Not the case here. In Africa, the crowd stands on their feet for the entire service, the entire message. They'll stand for hours. Also, in Africa, we only light up the stage in the area closest to the stage. So when I preach, I can see the people in the lights, but I can't see most of the crowd. And what goes on in the back, I have no idea. It's out of my view. Not so in Pakistan. In Pakistan, the entire field is covered in rugs. So much rug. And the field is surrounded by portable lights all the way around. It is lit up like the middle of the day. And while you preach, the crowd sits down. They sit on the rugs. And so preaching from the stage in Pakistan is totally different, because you can see everything. Right to the back. Including all the people that are moving around. And so in my weak physical condition, I stepped up to preach to the best of my ability, praying that I would be able to get through it. And I preached as hard as I could, but not as hard as normal because I couldn't. If I shouted hallelujah in Africa, I'd get a hallelujah back. Let me know the crowd is enjoying it. They're with me. Not so when I shouted hallelujah in Pakistan. The crowd was so much more silent. On top of that, it seemed like there were several hundred people moving around at various points all through the sermon. And as a preacher, I'll tell you, it's very off-putting and distracting. I felt so weak. And the devil was right there in my ear whispering, Joel, you are bombing in Pakistan. You're not connecting with this crowd at all. People, they're not understanding you. This is going to be a disaster. This is going to be that salvation preach where nobody responds to your invitation for salvation. Being bombarded in my mind. After the night was over, Ian Bird and Dallas Beitler, many of you know who they are, the two pastors from LifeLinks, they had traveled with me and ministering in our pastor's conference, and they were there, and both of them came up to me, and they said, Joel, how did you keep going? We felt so bad for you, all those people moving around, it must have been so distracting. And they said, but it just seemed like you didn't even notice. How did you just keep preaching like normal, like nothing was going on? They said, we would have been so tempted to just wrap it up and get off the stage. I said, you have no idea what was going through my mind. But here is what I kept telling myself. Joel, just keep going. I was reminding myself of the last message I preached in this church. Do you remember it? Just shoot. Just shoot. Just launch the arrow. It's self-targeting. Remember I said that? When you launch it from the bow of the Holy Spirit, it'll hit its mark. I was preaching that to myself as I was preaching the sermon. I had to turn my focus back to the treasure on the inside. I have the Holy Spirit within me. I have God's grace. I have His anointing. I have His favor. Keep preaching, keep preaching, keep preaching. I was preaching a whole different sermon to myself than the crowd was getting. I kept telling myself, don't focus on what you can see. Focus on the treasure. And that night when I gave the invitation to receive Jesus, I don't think in the crusades we have done I have ever seen a larger response to the gospel. It seemed like half that crowd came forward to receive Jesus. And I'm looking down from the stage at all these tribal people dressed in their colorful outfits and bracelets up and down their arm and the red Hindu dot on their foreheads, staring at me like almost like, I don't know why we're here, but something drew us. I have no idea what they all understood, but I do know that the Holy Spirit touched their hearts in a powerful way. And seeing so many of them come on the stage later to testify to heals, being healed and being delivered, I just kept looking at these beautiful people with the dot on their forehead, going, this is bizarre. They're encountering the power and the love of Jesus. What a beautiful thing. It was just a raw festival, if I could put it in those terms. The power is not in the vessel. The power is in the treasure that's within the broken pot. How do we experience God's strength when we're weak? Number two, realize that God often provides His strength through community. Sometimes when we are weak, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made available in your weakness. He reveals his power through community. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're fooling yourself. You're not that important. In Exodus 17, we're told a story of a time when the nation of Israel was attacked while they were on their journey to the promised land. It says in verse 8, while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us tomorrow. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill. I'm going to hold the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the armies of Amalek in battle. Excuse me. One of the things I've discovered over the years is that God often provides his strength to us tangibly through the hands and the shoulders of the people he's placed in our lives. His grace to us often comes through others. He recognizes we are weak, and so he brings others to us to give us strength. The scriptures talk about us being the body of Christ. That's how it refers to Christians, the believers, where every member is a different part of the body. And we see that the body is only able to function at its peak when every joint supplies. Truly, it is our weaknesses that actually set us up to experience the power of community. However, in order to experience this, it takes humility to admit you need help, to ask for it, even to receive it. Sometimes it's hard to receive the strength that God sends our way through others who come to carry our burdens and lift our hands. While I was in Pakistan, when I first started to feel quite sick, I was so frustrated. Because a lot of you know that a year and a half ago, I was in Pakistan and got so sick at the end of the trip that I missed my flight coming home. So I was determined this time I'm not getting sick. I packed my suitcase full of granola bars and trail mix and thought I can live on this for a week and a half. I'm hardly going to eat while there. So how I got sick, I don't know. Must have been in the air. I don't know. Something I touched. And so here I'm at the same hotel, stuck in my room, feeling just awful. And I missed the first day of our pastor's conference in Karachi while I laid in bed. The second day, I'm not feeling any better. I'm thinking there's no way I can preach tonight. I'm feeling so bad. We've got 600 pastors assembled, and I'm not going to be able to preach at all. I'm feeling bad for our host, Francis, because he's not even telling the people why I'm not there, because I think he's feeling like, Joel, come on, I need you. I've advertised you're going to preach. You need to preach. I'm thinking, I can't. We had with us on the trip Moses Male and Alex Mutagabia from Uganda. They're our dear friends who help us run and organize every festival that we do in Uganda, and we invited them to join us in Pakistan and actually help us carry some money in to fund it all and just be a part of it, just as a way to bless them and for all their service to us over the years. And so here they were, and Alex was going to preach and at the pastor's conference, and they messaged me, Joel, how are you doing? I said, I'm not doing good. I don't see how I'm going to be able to preach tonight. And I said to Alex, I said, I think you need to prepare to preach the crusade this weekend. I don't see how I'm going to be able to do it. At that point, Moses messaged me and he said, we're coming up. We're coming to pray for you. Now, I knew Moses was a great administrator, but I didn't know what kind of a prayer warrior Moses was. He walks into my room. He says, "Joel, I know why we're here. God has called me to hold up your hands in prayer." He said, "You are going to preach tonight, and you're going to preach the festival on the weekend." So I sat on the edge of my bed, and Moses knelt down on his knees beside me, put his hands on my legs, begins to pray. Alex is sitting on the couch in the room. He's praying. Ian Bird comes in to pray. Eventually, I'm so weak, I'm like, "I can't sit up here, you guys. Is it okay if I just lay in my bed?" Yes, they keep praying. Eventually, Ian Bird leaves. We'll have to talk to him about why he couldn't tarry even 1 hour. Sorry, Ian, if you're watching. He prayed for quite a while. Moses is on his knees. Alex is on his knees in my room, and they are going for it. Finally, I say to them, "Guys, I'm so blessed that you're praying for me, but I need a rest." So I said, I'm enjoying the presence of God as you pray. Is it okay if I just sleep in the presence of God?" They said, "Go for it." So I fell asleep with my two African brothers on their knees in my room. I woke up an hour later. They're still there on their knees in my room, praying for me. I preached that night weak and dripping in sweat, but I did it. I'll never forget the strength these men provided me and their willingness to hold up my hands while I was weak. How do we experience God's strength when we're weak? Number three, final point, change your attitude. In Joel chapter 3, verse 10, as the Lord is declaring how he will deliver his people, he makes the statement, "Let the weakling say, I am strong. Let the weakling say, I am strong." He's promising to his people how he will help them. And in the middle of this, there is this challenge to them to change their attitude and change the way they think and change the way they speak. When I woke up and I saw Moses and Alex still on their knees, I was shocked. I said, "I can't believe you guys are still here." I was touched. And then Moses says to me, "Get out of bed. You're healed. You need to get out of this room, Joel. You just need to get out of this room." I kind of laughed. I said, "Moses, I'm not healed." I said, "I haven't even showered or shaved in 2 days. He said, "Get in the shower. I'll wait." Okay. But he said, "You're getting out of this room." So they dragged me down into the lobby. Had a drink with them down there. Could hardly hold my head up. Eventually, I went back to bed. But that night, as I told you, I got up and preached. I thought, how could I not? Moses told me, "You're healed." In the morning, we drove out to the crusade area. I was far from 100%. But Moses had challenged me, whether he realized it or not, to change my attitude. He refused to let me consider any other option than that God would help me. There is something powerful about the weak looking at their clay pot with all its cracks and chips, and then turning their attention to the treasure inside and declaring, "I am strong. I'm strong because of the treasure inside. I'm hard pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I know I'm not alone. I'm never abandoned. I'm struck down, but you can knock me down. You will never destroy me. Because there's a treasure inside of me." It's the attitude of an overcomer. It's an attitude of faith in the one inside of us that we say is greater than the one that's within the world. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Church, I can tell you this was probably the least fun trip I've ever been on. I told my dad, if I never go back to Pakistan again, I'll be okay with it. But it was so wonderful to experience the power of God when I was not at my best. In fact, it seemed like it was better than ever. Isn't that what Paul said? When I'm weak, he's strong. Church, don't worry about your clay pot. Focus on the treasure inside of you. Get in the community of believers who can be God's strength to you. Change your attitude. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen? Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet with me? I want to end this morning by giving an opportunity for those of you who don't know Jesus to receive Jesus as your Savior. You know, I'm talking about the treasure inside of you. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have the treasure. There are many people that they think they're going to earn their salvation or they're going to get to heaven based on their goodness. They look at their clay pot and say, I think it's pretty good. Let me tell you, in order to experience God's grace, it takes great humility. You have to recognize you're nothing without Him. You're broken. You're lost. The Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's only one way that we can be saved, and it's through Jesus Christ. When there was no way for us to experience salvation, God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. He took all our brokenness, all our mess, all our shame, all our guilt upon Himself and was punished in our place, experienced the wrath of God in our place. And in exchange, He offered us His mercy, His grace. He said, I'll put my Holy Spirit inside of you. I'll put my treasure within you if you will receive my salvation. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You simply receive it by faith. You simply receive it by acknowledging you need a Savior, confessing with your mouth you need Him, and placing your faith on what Jesus did on the cross. In that moment, even if the outside doesn't change, the inside changes. He makes you brand new. The Scripture says like you're born again. Your spirit is renewed. If you've never made Jesus your Savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation right now and give you that opportunity. So I would ask that everybody here would just bow their heads and close their eyes with me just in a moment of surrender. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call you forward or anything. But I am going to ask you to raise your hand. You're raising it to God. You're raising it to me. Saying, Pastor, would you include me in that prayer you're about to pray? I need Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. I see hands raised here this morning. That's exciting. All over the room. You can put your hands down. I'm just going to pray. You make my prayer your prayer. These aren't magic words. But if you identify with this prayer, you just in your own heart say, God, that's my prayer. In that moment, Jesus will save you. He'll put His Spirit on the inside of you. Pray with me in your hearts. Jesus, I come to you this morning. I just acknowledge I'm broken. I'm lost. I'm needy. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I acknowledge I can't save myself. But I thank you, God, that when there was no way, you sent your Son Jesus to die in my place, to take my shame and my guilt and my sin upon Himself. I thank you that in exchange you offered me your righteousness. And today I receive that salvation. I acknowledge I need it. I receive it. Jesus, would you wash me clean? Would you forgive me? Would you put your Holy Spirit inside of me? I want the treasure. I want the light to shine in my heart that Paul talked about. I want that strength that comes in the middle of my weakness and brokenness. Jesus, today I choose to make you my Savior and my Lord, to follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.